Welcome to Sharing the Middle, where we share our messy middles of life. I am Lacey, your friend in the middle and guide, whose claim to fame this week is cutting her own bangs and hair and really liking it. Violet, my almost six-month-old, has gotten to pulling hair, and I have to wear it up all the time. And in order to feel like a human, now I have bangs to feel something. I don't know. Anyway, as usual, I'm so excited for today's episode. We talk to Genevieve Dreisen. She is the co-founder of Fresh Start Registry. She has one of my favorite stories I've ever heard, straight out of rom-com romance landia, which is probably why. But it's really a story of resilience and learning to listen to yourself and not the stories that the world is telling you. We have a lovely conversation, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Let's jump right in. Welcome to Sharing the Middle. I am so excited to be talking to Jenny Dreisen today. Did I say that? I said that right.
You said that right.
It's a really hard last name. That's like Alsatian German, but it means 13 in German.
Oh.
When I was engaged the first time, I've been engaged twice now, I was like, I'm just going to change my last name because his last name was really easy. It was like one syllable. And I was like, I'm going to change my last name. It's just easier. And then I was like, but I'm the only Genevieve Dreisen in the world.
So I
decided not to.
It's one of those things where I had performance anxiety and
I understand.
The wrong thing came.
And I'll tell you, Lacey, my whole life, I know that when teachers are reading the roll call and they pause, that's me.
I'm here.
Because Genevieve Dreisen, which is my full name, and you asked before Jenny or Genevieve, yeah. And I said Jenny. It's a lot of name. Why I've been Jenny my whole life, because a little six-year-old is like, Genevieve, nobody can say it. Dreisen, nobody can say it. I very much understand it. Do you want to take it again just for the podcast?
No, I want to leave this in. This is important to me.
It's a hard name. And it's also like breaks the rules of grammar.
That's what it is. I looked at the name and I shouldn't have looked at the name. That's where I looked down and I was like, reference. No,
it's
that's
tough.
Not right.
It's tough. And it's also hard when you have a podcast. And you want to get people's names right. But it doesn't always happen. It's okay.
Yeah.
And we have grace.
That's just fine. But thank you for being here with me today. Why don't you go ahead and take a moment to introduce yourself to our listeners.
So I am Genevieve Jenny Dreisen, and I am the co-founder and COO of Fresh Starts Registry, the first and only divorce registry. Registry as in support items, not as in a list of people. We are a platform that supports people going through divorce and other major life transitions. We have a guide of over 130 experts and growing that can help you navigate divorce. We also have registry bundles so you can build your registry. We have a ton of empowered education and resources, all free for people who are navigating divorce. I founded that company in 2021 with my sister Olivia, a very devoted aunt who has two nephews who are 9 and 11. I am married to my wonderful husband, Thomas, and we live in Edinburgh, Scotland. He is not Scottish. When we first started talking, I said something about him being Scottish, and he was like, you know I'm not Scottish, right? He is English. The singer, songwriter, musician. I moved here in 2023. I like to cycle through creative hobbies, and I bake a lot as a form of regulation. That's pretty much me.
Yeah. You are fascinating. I kept seeing little tidbits about you. I started following you in threads, or I honestly am not totally sure. And the more that I learned about you, then I'm like, want to know more. I want to know more. So thank you.
I'm a Leo. My birthday has been 1 week. It's pretty much the best thing you can say to me. So I appreciate that.
But before we dive into all of those different things, I do want to pause. I find sometimes when I talk about the middle, there are people who are like, oh my gosh, this is what this means to me. There are some people that they're like, okay. But do you have a reaction or what would that look like for you?
I think the way that I react to it, I have a part that I was thinking of and bringing to the podcast, but I think I feel like we're always in the middle. I always say we're in a constant process of becoming. We're never done. And so I kind of feel like I'm always in the messy middle because the goalpost keeps moving. That's life, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's kind of like the lucky of us get to age, right? Like those who are lucky grow a year older. Those who are lucky are still in the middle, right? If you look at life as a timeline, it's mostly the middle. It might not be the middle, but it's mostly the middle. So that's what comes up for me immediately. But I did have I was thinking about something. It did feel like a very much a middle in my life.
Tell me about it.
I was with somebody from the time I was 22 until I was 30. We dated for a number of years, moved in together, got engaged, and we were supposed to get married May 16th, 2020. So you can imagine what happened to that wedding. My bridal shower was the weekend before lockdown. We obviously had to push off that wedding. And we rescheduled for September, and then we rescheduled for May again. And then we got to February of 2021, and I was like, I don't care anymore about this wedding. And it was hard for me because I'm a middle child. My older sister was born with a congenital heart defect, so there's a little bit of last child syndrome with me. The baby is a boy, and then my dad has a daughter from a second relationship. So I'm the middle child, and I was like, and I'm a Leo. And I was like, this is my moment. Like, it's going to be about me and my fiance. It wasn't like a bridezilla, but it was like, this is my moment. And to be honest, my fiance wasn't super interested. He was and wasn't interested in wedding planning, only when it was really annoying asks, like, can we have a bonfire on the property? And I was like, at the historic Vanderbilt mansion, we're having the wedding. I'll ask. My sister was like, you're not going to ask. I was like, I'll ask. They're going to say no. But that was really hard for me to give that up because I had sort of lived a life as a middle child. I didn't feel forgotten, but a lot goes on when you have an older sister who's a lot of personality, very big personality, very extroverted and medically complicated. Fine. Yeah. But like, you know, had heart stuff. And then a little brother who's just like, you know, it's a Jewish family. It's a little boy. Like, you know, that was hard for me to give up the wedding. But I really wanted to make that relationship work because he was really good on paper. He's a good guy, but he was really good on paper. He's a nice guy. He'd been involved. You know, I'd been with him for 10 years by this point. You can't keep fighting City Hall at that point. And you're like COVID and COVID and COVID. So I said, OK, screw it. I was a professional wedding officiant for 10 years. And so I had done so many weddings, and I always really loved the weddings that were really small or where they had the ceremony really private. And so we had already planned to do the ceremony on a Thursday with just our families, and then the wedding was just going to be a party, like on a Saturday. Friday night, people were going to come into town. I grew up in this wonderful town on Long Island called Huntington. It's wonderful. So everybody was going to come. We were going to get an Airbnb, have some friends stay with us. We were going to do the welcome party at this really cool place in town. So it was going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I was like, we'll just scale back to the Thursday event, do it at some point. And I was like, well, let's have a baby. And we were talking about that. And our 10-year anniversary came. June came around and we were talking about starting to try to have a baby. And he just wasn't like, you just could tell he wasn't like thrilled about this idea. And that's a really horrible position to be in, to be like, I wanted to be with somebody that wanted to be excited to have a kid with me, you know, and it had always been something I was really clear about at that time. We ended up just having this really is this whole day, Lacey, like, I know I'm supposed to get to the middle part, but the story so quickly because it's one of my favorite stories. My dad lives in Manhattan. My parents divorced when I was 7. My dad lives in Manhattan. At the time, my brother was living with him. My brother was like 29. They had a cat. The cat was named Elvis. It was Thursday morning, Thursday, June 17th. They were supposed to put the cat down. The cat was very ill. The plan was that my brother and my dad and the cat's corpse were going to come to Queens, where I lived, because I had a car. Still have a car. It's CRV. Lives on Long Island. And meet up with me and my brother's girlfriend, who's now his fiance. For some reason, my ex wasn't going to come with us. I don't know why. We were all going to drive my car out to my mother's house, who had agreed to let my dad bury his cat in her front yard because they wanted to have a place that my brother could visit the cat.
Okay.
So my mom and my stepdad have been together since I was about 7. It was going to be my dad, my brother, my brother's girlfriend, cat's corpse, and my mom, my stepdad, my sister, and her 2 kids, and me. We were all going to do this funeral. And again, retroactively, I'm like, why was my ex not going to come? He was very involved in the family. The night before this, my ex and I just sort of fall into this conversation of what's not working. And he was like, let's not talk about it. And I was like, let's talk about it. Knowing that my dad was going to come the next day. And if I couldn't drive my car because I was too upset, my dad could. And so it was kind of like, I knew myself well enough to know that I could sweep it under the rug. You know, like I could be like, no, it's okay. You'll grow up eventually, you know. And so we had this conversation and we packed up my stuff that night. In the conversation, he said, he started the conversation. I'm amazed that he's never heard me say this on a podcast, but he seems to not have heard it yet. He started the conversation by saying, I don't think I love you anymore, and I don't think we should have a baby together. And I was like, that makes sense, because it doesn't really feel like you love me. And I took off my engagement ring that I love.
Can I just pause right there?
Yes.
I feel like, to me, that sounds like an end of a conversation.
I know. My best friend's husband was like, did he say that to anyone before? Like, did he try that out? Because I don't think he did. I think it just came out. It's funny because he was the one fighting having the conversation. You don't love me. Why would you not want me to know that so I can go live my life? It does feel like the end of the conversation. And it kind of was in a way. But I loved my engagement ring. I will say this. If you ever think about that you might want to resell your engagement ring, don't go with super thin gold and a black diamond, because I got $70 for it. And it was a $2,000 ring. So I took off my engagement ring and he wanted me to keep it. For all the people that are like, you should have given it back, he wanted me to keep it. What was he going to do with $70? I took off my ring, dramatic Leo, right? Take off the ring, put it on the table. I just knew my life was going to be beautiful. I saw the clouds part and I was like, my life is going to be amazing. The next day, my dad came and my brother and we packed up my stuff. I ended up having to go back two more times to get the rest of it. I moved out to Long Island and it was amazing. I don't have to live an hour away from my sister anymore. I can live in the town. We can be together all the time. And I moved into this really sweet apartment. It was the first floor of a house from the 1800s. And I filled it with furniture, like $10,000 worth of furniture and everything that you need. I left with basically just my clothes. That year I lived in that house was my messy middle of figuring shit out. It's funny because I was like, I'm going to be with my sister all the time. I call it my allergic to people year. I could not be around anyone. I was so sensitive. I gave up the lease at the end of the year, and we'll get to that. But in that middle time, one of the things that happened was that I had, in 2010, my mom and I had been in Scotland because my brother had gone to university here. We came to visit him, and then we came to spend a couple of days in Edinburgh. I walked into a museum. My mom and I had walked into a museum, which we found out later was the wrong museum. It was not the place that we intended to go. There were two people working there. And my mom is gorgeous and an artist and a flirt. And there was a handsome guy and she beelined him for. But my mom is also a great wing woman. She talked to the guy and then she was like, hey, get in the game here. I started talking to this guy whose name is Thomas. And we talked for like 20 minutes. He said he was writing some poetry. I said, oh, I write poetry. He said, do you know any competitions? I said, yeah, maybe. And then my mom had just gotten Facebook. So she was giving her Facebook information to everyone. And we became Facebook friends. He emailed me the poems. I felt really stupid because I didn't know anybody. And so I just never answered. But we would keep up on Facebook. I would like his status. I knew when he had a girlfriend, you know. And on the 10th anniversary with my ex, I had liked something of his on Facebook, Thomas's. And he messaged me. It was a very flirtatious message. And I said very politely, it was like, I'm engaged. And but I knew there was some sort of interest. And it was weird because how do you explain to somebody like, I talked to this guy for 20 minutes once in 2010, but I just have such a good feeling about him. And so when I broke up with my ex, I'm back living at my mom's for 2 weeks and trying to figure out my life. I got the apartment within the week, but I couldn't move in right away. I messaged him and I said, I'm single. I made a big life change. He said, what did you do? I said, I ended my engagement. We started talking. I booked a ticket to come see him 2 days after we started talking, which was a lot. Both financially a lot and emotionally. I was going to have to quarantine in his apartment for 10 days, which at first sounds really cool. And then you're like, that doesn't maybe sound so great. So I canceled it, took it 6 hours after I booked it. And we started talking every day. And it was interesting because a lot of that time that I was in that apartment in that middle ground for the year was me just doing a lot of thinking. And I had to really figure out. So Thomas and I started talking all the time. He was on furlough, so he wasn't working because of COVID. And he was naturally a night owl. So we would start talking out his time and stay on the phone sometimes for 6 hours, Skype for 6 hours. And then we'd be in touch all day. And I would literally go out on walks by myself, no headphones, and just be like, and I, like, we said, I love you within a month. I'd be like, do I like him? Do I love him or do I just love the story? And I really had to do some real thinking because I was like, what am I doing? I'm finally on Long Island, you know? And I can't just be like, yeah. And at this point, we never touched. Like, you know, and I went to, so then September came and no, October. I booked a ticket for October to come back here for 2 weeks, which was a pretty big leap of faith. At this point, we've been speaking every day and night for 3 months, right? So I kind of knew him.
2 weeks is a long time.
2 weeks is a long time. One of the things that I always tell people is when I first booked the ticket that I ended up canceling, after a while, the adrenaline comes down. I really wanted him to know how much I liked him. And I was still dating. Mm-hmm. And I wanted him to understand that even though he didn't expect me to stop dating, I'd been with somebody for 10 years, but I wanted to be like, I like you so much. This is what I'm willing to do, which isn't a great reason to book a ticket. I was going to come here for 2 weeks. It was like, I was going to come July 14th to August 1st, which is over my birthday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is crazy. And I thought to myself, well, he might be mad at me. And then I was like, there was another voice of me going, what do you care if he's mad at you? You don't know him. 3 days ago, he was nobody to you. So you're willing to fly to Scotland where you don't know anybody else and stay in this guy's apartment, which could be terrifying because you're afraid he might be mad at you. That's stupid. We can't be doing that. That's dangerous. Yes. Right? So I canceled the ticket. I called him and I think he had just gone to bed at 6 a.m. his time. And it was like 7 a.m. his time. I called him and he answered immediately. And I said, I can't do this. So he said, okay. Because I think he was freaking out. He'd been completely isolated for 18 months. He said, okay, just why? And I said, I don't think it's very safe. And I don't feel unsafe. And he said, I only ever want you to feel safe with me.
Yeah.
I went downstairs and I told my mom. Like, I think I'm screwed now because he was really nice about this.
Like, by doing the thing and then him not having the reaction.
Exactly. Like, now I was hooked after that. I came here in October and I remember distinctly, it was an amazing trip. We had an amazing 2 weeks together. My brain was like, you live here now. You live with him. This is it. It was amazing. And I went home and I remember taking myself on one of those walks and being like, you have to figure it. Like, I know you love him and I know you believe that you love him, but let's slow it down because this is a big deal. We talked about the future and we knew that we had to be together. It was very clear, but doesn't make sense to bring somebody to live in America. Any level. On many levels and a logistical level in and of itself, which was at this point, my sister and I ran a marketing company together. I was making some money, but not enough money to get somebody on health insurance. He works in a physical place. And I don't. And so it's like, well, that doesn't make sense, right? You're going to bring somebody over here away from everything that they know. It just didn't make any sense. I really have to think, like, is this person, do I really love them or do I love the story? It didn't take a lot of thought for me, but I made sure to put effort into that because I've seen people fall in love with their own stories before.
Are you tired of scrambling to track your baby's daily routines? Meet Cubtail, the smart parenting assistant that revolutionizes how you monitor your little one's needs. With Cubtail's innovative tracking buttons and easy-to-use app, you can effortlessly log feedings, diaper changes, and sleep patterns with just one click. No more fumbling with your phone at 3 a.m. Join thousands of parents who've discovered the peace of mind that comes with Cubtail. Visit www.cubtail.com/laceyshares
and use our link
to start your parenting journey with less stress and more joy. Cubtail, making parenting simpler, one click at a time.
And as you're talking, I'm like, Jenny, have you written this book? Like, there are so many things that I'm in the background of my mind writing a book, a novel of a romance, because I love romance. Yeah. And literally the things that I've been learning, because I've read a book about it, I'm like, oh, that's what that plot point is. That's what that beat is. It's so on point.
It is. It's such a weird tension because you said before we start recording, share as much as you are comfortable with. And I'm so comfortable sharing so much of our story. But I have a big thing about authenticity versus intimacy. Like I show up very authentic, but there's so much stuff that nobody knows because it's none of their business. And so it's really hard when you're writing a book because you're like, what do I share? Like it's easy to do on podcasts, right? But when you start writing a book about it, so I have a sort of working copy of a novelization of our love story that I'm trying more to focus on how she got here. Our story is like maybe I'll change details. Meanwhile, he's like, I don't care. Do whatever you like. Share whatever you want. I agree with you. But it's interesting because it's also pretty boring. Not boring, but stable. It's very stable. I laugh because while we were apart, I was on the phone with one of my girlfriends one day. And I was like, I'm just so afraid for the other shoe to drop. Like, what's the problem going to be? And she goes, he's in Scotland. You're not with him right now. That's the problem. You're solving it. That year of living in my apartment and trying to negotiate, like, who am I? I came out of that relationship. I'm very much me. I've always very much been me. I have things that I like and I don't like. I think I just got so lost in the caretaking of everybody else. My sister has her two kids and I was really involved. And then she got divorced. I was really helpful. And my ex required a lot of caretaking. I graduated university and I got with him. We would spend a lot of time going to see friends in the city. And then we moved into the city and worked at this company together. It was like, oh, I must like people. I must be an extrovert because I'm always around people. You know, I spent this year being like, actually, I'm really introverted. I like to spend a lot of time alone. I like to do these things alone. And I think one of the sadnesses that I have is that I was allergic to people for that whole year when I could have been spending time with myself. I didn't know that the end of that year, I was going to end up moving to Scotland, right? And
yeah.
On Saturdays, I go to the farmer's market because I could walk into town. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And my aunt would be like, I want to go with you. And I'd be like, no, I just want to do these things on my own. Because I think for so many years, I had things on my own because my ex wasn't that interested in doing them with me. I can just do them on my own because I love it. So the rent was so expensive, but it was so beautiful. And I loved curating that place. And I loved cleaning that place. And I loved being in that space. And I'm so glad the sign behind me says The Nest. My brother's fiance made it for me because that's what I called it. Mm-hmm. I had her make that sign for me. And I don't have my mug. I made mugs for my husband and I bought them at the charity shop. You can write with a mug on with Sharpie and then bake it. And so I made mugs for like where we were when we fell in love. And so mine is called The Nest. It's like a place to reset and rego. And then his is called The Lair. It's got a picture of like a wolf on it. And it's like, you know, it's got each of our addresses on it so that we always remember where we were when we fell in love. I really feel like it was my nest, that place mm-hmm. to like gather into myself. And I look at pictures from year in the nest and I'm like, there she is. And it was funny because I remember I had one outfit that wasn't packed in bags. And I wore that outfit. It was like a pair of Lululemon shorts, an oversized shirt and a flannel. And I felt so much like me for the first time in so long. That year was me really connecting with who I was, falling in love with Thomas and understanding what that kind of expansive love can be.
It sounds like you were falling in love with yourself again, too, though.
Yes, I'm going to cry. My period just started today. I'm so emotional.
Mine did, too, so we can cry together.
I love it. It's amazing. Synced up. I think that's true. I think it was understanding who I was. And I think it's interesting because they say what RuPaul says, like, if you can't love yourself, who else is going to? I'm a Leo. I think I'm pretty great. The idea that you can't heal alongside somebody. I did a lot of healing alongside Thomas, and he was a big part of that, like, witnessing and holding me in that space. He literally said to me once, you don't have to do anything for me to love you. Just breathe. That's it. I had not felt like something that I had access to before in previous relationships. Mm-hmm. So that was a really profound relationship. Obviously, I came here and I married him.
Pause for a second. Because there is something so interesting here, and I don't know how to articulate it yet, so bear with me. When it comes to the story that we tell ourselves, it sounds like you had this idea or story of what your life would look like, and you tried so hard to make that work for 10 years, right? And that was the wrong story for you. The more fantastical, romance-worthy story that you were worried about, that's what felt safer to you.
Yeah.
Like, how beautiful. Like, that is so contradictory to what we would think would happen. But that's so freaking beautiful.
I think that's a great way to put it. And I think you're so right. And I think it's funny because I think my dad's, my bio dad and my stepdad, who I'm very close to, I think they both feel safer with me here in Scotland than they did with me in Queens, 40 minutes from them both. I think they know that somebody is looking out for me. You know what I mean? That man will not let anything happen to me. I think to your point, I kind of feel like I tried to be normal. It just was never going to work for me because it's never been the normal way. Nothing's ever been the normal way for me. And so I feel like, I completely agree. This fantastical thing, I literally wouldn't move to upstate, like right outside New York City, like upstate New York, like Cold Spring, with my ex because I wouldn't be off of Long Island, like the geographical Long Island, because I was like, I need to be able to walk to my sister if something happens. And so it was a really big deal for me to move to Scotland, but it also didn't feel like a really big deal because it was like, well, I have to be with this person in a high oxytocin way, but also in like a, this is a person that regulates my nervous system. Like, this is a person we breathed just before this. He came into the office and he grabbed me and gave me a hug. And I could feel him regulating my breath while we were together. This is a person that understands me on a very deep level. And so, yes, like, it's very, was a surprise that it wasn't the guy that grew up in Brooklyn. Thomas hasn't met my sister in person, but he is my home. And he's the person in the place that I'm supposed to be with. But I had to understand who I was to allow that all to happen and to let that set into motion.
Benny, I needed to hear your story today because I'm realizing as we're talking, for a lot of my life, I had this like kind of thing in the back of my head of wanting to live, quote unquote, a big life, right? And then life and being a woman and circumstances made me take that and be like, no, that's not for me. I'm not special enough for that. In the past 3 years, chronic illness onset and changed my life. But since then, I've been learning that maybe that was wrong. Maybe a big life isn't what I was thinking of as a big life. Like, I can have more than one thing at a time. But also, yeah, it is me. I am the person that should do this and this, because the more that I think about doing something else, it doesn't feel right. So maybe that's what makes this right. Just to hear you say that, I'm like, yeah, no. Sometimes it is the big thing. Sometimes it is.
And it's funny to me because I'm like, I don't see myself like that. Even though I'm just like, yeah. I want to walk up to people on the street and be like, you understand, it's crazy that I live here. I literally, Lacey, when I tell you, I grew up on Long Island. I went to NYU. I moved back to Long Island to my mom's house. I moved to Queens. That was it. I traveled, but that was as far as I'd ever go. I went to NYU. It was an hour on the train. I went nowhere. I was the hometown girl. So yeah. This is crazy. Sometimes I'm like, you've never done anything special. I'm like, what? You moved to Scotland for love. You're nuts. It's the dichotomy of both of those things. And also, like, why not you? My name is Genevieve. I was a French girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In school, there's like a girl that's obsessed with whatever. And then I was the
French girl too.
The French girl. And I always thought I'd love Paris because I actually went to Paris 2 months before I came here. So I graduated from college and I wasn't working. And my dad was like, we're going to go to Paris for New Year's. And I was like, cool, I'm coming to Paris for New Year's. So me, my dad, and my little sister went to Paris for New Year's. And then my mom was like, I'm going to go to Scotland to visit your brother. And I was like, I'm coming. I'm not getting a job. Like, I'm going to put that off for a little while longer. And so I came to Paris in December and January, and I came here in March. I thought I'd fall in love. It's a beautiful city. That is not my home city. This is. And it was funny because I was walking up the stairs the other day, and we live in an older building, and it's like marble stairs. And I had like two baguettes in my bag, flowers under my arm. I was like, holy shit, I'm living my childhood dream. It doesn't look exactly like it, right? It's a little different. But this, like, you fell in love with an amazing man who lives in a foreign country and you moved to go be with him. Like, little Jenny is so fucking proud of you, because I would be with my ex and I'd be like, I just think that you can be with somebody that like tells you you're beautiful all the time. Like, I think that might be a thing. And then with my husband, I got some new dresses today. And I came in one of the dresses, in a very form-fitting dress, and I'm a very curvy girl. I said, well, this is a home dress. He goes, because it showed my lower belly pooch. I was raised by society to be ashamed of that.
Yeah.
And I said, it's a home dress. And he goes, why? Why would this be a home dress? You look amazing in that dress. And I was like, all of those things that I thought maybe somebody, there are men out there that will be like this. I was right. And like you said, I was in the wrong story. I always said my package was delivered to the wrong house. Like, I was never supposed to be there.
I say all the time that I didn't know men like my husband existed.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the reasons why doing this podcast is something that I want to continue to do, is because the more that I realize that, one, we can find something of ourselves in other people's stories all the time, and that there's so much that unites us. One of the biggest problems in we'll say the U.S. right now, is there is such a one story driving factor of like, this is what good is and this is what right is and what life should look like. We need to have all the different stories out there. Be happy to say, oh, wait, I was delivered into the right place.
Right.
I just have been fighting what that right is for me. That's, you just, thank you. You're like reaffirming why I do this. And
I always say to my husband, I couldn't have even asked for you because I didn't know that this existed.
I didn't know that there were men that sports weren't their biggest interest and priority in life. Yeah, I just didn't even know that that existed.
I mean, my ex told me that I shouldn't expect him to hang out with me at our wedding because he saw me all the time.
And it's one of those things where I'm like, I can get
it. Yeah, you're like, I get it. But then my husband and I decided to elope because we didn't want to see anybody else on the day of our wedding. We just wanted to be together.
And you know, someone, that is the right person.
Right.
That doesn't make it wrong.
And it's like, right. And I was like, okay. Yeah. I was like, that does make sense. But in reality, that's not what I want. I want somebody, you know, like I said to you, I don't know if it was on recording or not. Like my husband and I were like in playing like musical beds this week because both of us have had back issues. The other night, he was like, I want to be back in the bed with you. Like, I miss you. And like, I felt like with other men I'd been with, it was like, oh, are you here again? You know what I mean? I think that there's a problem in society. So much of it gets into our blood of like, of course your husband doesn't like you. But I mean, that's what a long-term relationship looks like. And you can just be with somebody that likes you. And I also think you can be with somebody that's like you, likes the same things that you like. And, you know, opposites attract and that's wonderful. But like, do you want to be fighting that your whole life of like, well, he's an extrovert and I'm an introvert and he loves to party and, you know, I really want to be home. And that's fine if you do, but just at least think about it. Because I think for me, it was my ex loved camping and hiking. I do not. I said to him, we broke up. You should find somebody that happily does that stuff with you, but you shouldn't try to convert me into that because it's never going to work. But you can just be with somebody that likes you and that is like you in a lot of ways.
Well, we are getting to the end of our time together. Thank you again, because I needed your story today. What would you say is like a piece of advice? Now, it could be related to your story, not related to your story, but what is a piece of advice that you love to hear or give?
It doesn't have to be bad for it not to be good.
Ooh.
Like, you're allowed to want more. It doesn't have to be, you know, my sister and I have very different stories. She had an emotionally abusive experience. I did not. And when we broke up, he said, it's going to be fine. And I said, hold up. I said, we have fine. We found fine. I said, we have to go find great. That's our responsibility now, is to go find great. It doesn't have to be bad for it not to be good. I don't think that there's any bad reason to end a relationship, because if you're willing to end a relationship over a bad reason, then that should be ended. And therapy is important, you know, and part of that. My attachment styles, obviously, I recognize. But if you're willing to end a relationship because of something like that,
a sign.
Yeah, it's a sign. And so you're allowed to just want more. You're allowed to want more love. You're allowed to want more passion. You're allowed to want more laughter. You're allowed to want more connection, more intimacy. It is allowed. That doesn't make you needy. That doesn't make you high maintenance. You're just allowed to. You are. Listen, I don't know if you're going to be successful finding more, but you're allowed to go try.
Well, where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram and Threads as Genevieve Dryzen. You can find us, one word, Genevieve Dryzen.
Put it in the show notes.
You can find Fresh Starts on Instagram at Fresh Starts Registry, freshstartsregistry.com. If you are looking for any resources, you're navigating divorce or major life changes, my sister Olivia, who's the CEO, does free 15-minute divorce resource consults. So if you are navigating a divorce, if your best friend, your sister, your parents are, you don't know where to start, or they need resources, or they're overwhelmed, book a divorce resource consult with her. She will send you a massive email. I asked the other day, I was like, I've never seen the email. Can you send it to me? It's this email with tons of resources, expert recommendations. We refer people directly to our experts because we know and trust them. If you're looking for any of that, we also have two free PDF/ebooks on the website. One is called Your Divorce Support Team, all about every question to ask when you're going through a divorce, like ask your lawyer, ask a therapist, so you can vet people appropriately and also make sure you're getting the information you need. And then we also have What to Consider When You're Considering Divorce, which is a book and a workbook that takes you through everything that you need to think about, paperwork that you need to find. I just finished formatting. Olivia has to do a second pass on our third book, which is called How to Get a Divorce as a Stay-at-Home Parent, which is a resource for people to figure out, because this is a question we get a lot, which is, I haven't made money in 10 years. How do I get divorced? Those are totally free. And we don't collect emails for those. Like, we're really obsessive about the privacy of people, that we don't want people to feel like we're tracking them. Then if you are a divorce professional looking to get in on this, we run a membership community for divorce professionals. It is $25 a month to be listed with some other benefits like professional networking, having your events shared. And then for $55 a month, you get your listing and you get all your events shared, you get professional networking. We also have 7 offerings a week, including 2 hours of open office business coaching. You can come on our podcast as many times as you want. We have 3 podcasts that you can come on. And we do PR and media placements for our experts. So it's a really good deal for $55 a month. Yeah. And we are growing. I set a goal this month for a certain amount of experts and we did it. We 4X'd it, I guess is what you would say.
Cool.
So that's exciting. We're growing fast. We're looking for divorce lawyers and therapists in every state so that we're covered. Mm-hmm. So if you're one of those and you hear this, reach out to us. We are hi@freshstartsregistry.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your middle with me and everyone today. I really enjoyed our chat.
Thank you for having me. It was so enjoyable. I love talking about this stuff. I think it's so important because I think you're right. Your story is somebody else's roadmap and you don't know who's going to help.
Hey, thanks for sharing the middle with me today. I hope our conversation resonated with you wherever you are in your own messy middle. Make sure to visit us at sharingthemiddle.com to find show notes, resources, and other information about today's episode. And you can always submit your own middle story for a future episode through the website. Your voice matters, and we want to hear it. Make sure to connect with us on social media at Joyful Support Movement or me at Lacey Shares to continue the conversation. You can always support the show by leaving a review, sharing with a friend, or joining the Joyful Support Village. And remember, the middle can feel a little less messy when we share it together.